be something that I've not spoken about before, at least publicly, not for about 10 years since I got yelled at for speaking about it. And it took me a while to really figure out what exactly this is all about. So the truth is, this was a lot of research on my part, so I'm kind of happy about this, and a lot of work that was put into this. So the Pasuk is, Parakav is really the entire Akedah. Pasuk Yud, Vayishak Avram is Yadu. Avram put out his hand, sent out his hand, Vayikas Machalos Chodos Beno, took the knife in order to shecht his son. Now the reason why it says Vayishak is Yadu, he has to send out his hand, is because his hand wouldn't move. He didn't want to do it. Subconsciously, whatever you want to call it, he had no ability to put them, go grab the knife in order to shecht his child, because as much simcha as he had to do God's word, and there was a simcha because he had nevuah at the time, he couldn't get himself to do that one thing of shechting his son. How do you do such a thing? And we all know what happens next. The Malach calls out to him from the heavens. Avram stops just in time. No harm done. Yisavinu climbs off the altar. Already climbs off the Mizbech. He hugs his father. They grab the ram. It doesn't say he hugs his father. They grab the ram that just happens to be in the thicket nearby. They shecht it. They burn it up to the heavens. Then they go back. Avram goes back to his two young men, to the two Na'arim that were with him, who follow him to Er Sheba and eventually to Kiryas Arba, to mourn Sarimin is passing. And Yitzchak goes to the yeshiva Shein Be'Eber, at least according to the Medrash, possibly together with Avram Vinu and his sister Weber, or perhaps to Be'er Lachai Roi, right? But Yitzchak goes in a different direction, which is why it says, Vayoshav Avram El Mel Rav, that Avram went back to his kids, yet Yitzchak didn't go. So even though Avram Vinu said, Dinashuva Aleichem, that we will return, Yitzchak Vinu seems to have not gone back with him. He went to another place, and that's why it says in singular. Yeah.
What nevuah did he get during the actual
location? Where Haram Maria was. Remember, he told me I'm muckle, right?
So it doesn't mean when he's in the middle of the shot that he was happy.
Now, that's a good question. How do we know that right during the Shlita itself, that he was happy?
From an angel,
I have an unbelievable raya. You can't speak to an angel without nevuah. So it is by far, it is impossible, which means he has to have had simcha.
So when the angels came down to the first time to him, the three of them, that was nevuah, that actually happened.
Same thing.
So
we can do Avram Vinu with Mori Nevukim and say that it was a dream in some sort, but either way, you have to be in a state of simcha in order to get there in the first place. Even a Malach is Nevuah. Even a Malach. According to the Rambam, Mori Nevukim, Targumel, it is. It's the same thing, yeah.
When Yaakov was fighting with the Malach from Esau, he was happy.
Same thing, yeah. It's Akasha exactly what happened, but yes, there was a simcha behind it, yeah. I'm sorry? So Lot is the one Kasha. That's another thing for another time, how to understand the Rambam and through the Abarbanel. It's another thing for another time. It's a great question. What about Lot and Sodom? Everybody else you can answer up, Lot and Sodom is a big kasha. But either way, but that's something there. So there's some issues here. The Ibn Ezra, in Pasuk Yud Tes in this parak, says, when Avram returned to Be'er Sheva, Yitzchak isn't mentioned. Why? Because he's under his auspices. Avram was important. Yitzchak was not as important. So it said that Avram went back and obviously Yitzchak went with. And that's the obvious thing with it. Then he adds, anyone who says that Yitzchak was shechted and he left him there, and that Yitzchak eventually atzchias ameisim, is saying the opposite of pshat in the Pasuk. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. Nothing else. He's just saying the opposite of the pshat in the Pasuk. The Ibn Ezra certainly sounds like he's trying to knock out someone's pshat. But here's the deal. The Ibn Ezra wrote his sefer to knock down the people that were pashtunim. People that just wanted to give their pshat in the Chumash, simplistic pshat that would be able to be there. And he wrote his sefer to be able to knock out those guys. He quotes them all the time. And he calls them fools. He calls them idiots all the time. The Ibn Ezra says that. Over here, he doesn't say anything about the person. He doesn't say anything about why he thinks it's wrong. All he says is those people that say this, they're against pshat in the Pasuk. That's all they are. So that's what he understands over here. So who was that? Who says he is Yitzchak died? And when exactly that happened? When did he come back? Yeah, Brian?
Honestly, so against the people trying to interpret the Pasuk.
It was only because the people that were doing it were not exactly, let's call it, from a Yidden. They weren't people that were doing it for the right reasons. They were doing it in a way to knock out the Chumash. So Ibn Ezra spent much of his sefer, and he wrote this in Akdama. I wrote this in order to knock out those people. The Ramban then wrote that I wrote my sefer in order to explain Rashi and knock out the Ibn Ezra. But regardless, right, this is, the Ibn Ezra's point was in order to do this. That was the idea that he wanted to set behind it. In our Shmona Esrei, we know that the first three brachos represent the three avos. This is based on a Das the Canaan, but it's really based on a Yerushalmi. The first brachos could Magin Avram. So there's no kash about that. The third bracha is Yaakov Avinu, and that's why the wording in there is Kedusha, the word Noro, which is the use, Ma Noro Makom Azez, the word that Yaakov Avinu uses over there. That's by Har Maria. The second bracha, therefore, is referring to Yitzchak Avinu. The second bracha, as we all know, is the bracha of Mechaye HaMeisim. What does that mean? So it says the Das Kenim in Parshas Lech Lecha, in Tesvav Aleph, says the Das Kenim. Yitzchak's soul left him when Avram was about to shechtim. He went up to the heavens and was able to see the Ziv HaShechina, the splendor of the glory of the Shechina itself, and then it came back. And when it came back to him, he made the bracha of Mechaye HaMesim. I would assume it's bracha to Hashem, Mechaye HaMesim. And this, he says, is the reason why he was blind. There are other opinions. We all know the other opinions. The tears of the Malachim, whatever that means. Or because of the smoke that came from Esav's wives. Or because he was old. Or because the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want him to see what was happening with Yaakov and Esav with the brachos being switched. But here, the Das HaKinim's opinion is he went blind because he saw the Ziv HaShechina when he died and went up to the heavens. He saw something he wasn't allowed to see, and then he came back and he ended up being, this is the Tchiyas Mason that was here.
Is that one of the reasons that Avram was told to stop?
No. Pirkei Rebbe Eliezer, Parak Lamed Aleph, toward the end, brings the opinion of the Rebbe Yehuda that when Avram's knife reached the neck of Yitzchak Avinu, his soul left his body. When the Malach called out and said, don't touch the child. By the way, I want to, it's Porcha La Nishmasa. It's an important line that we're going to try to go through. Porcha La Nishmasa. When the Malach called out and said, don't touch the child, Al Tishlach Yodcha El Anar, says Pirkei Rebbe Eliezer, his soul re-entered his body at that moment, and Avram undid the ropes, and Yitzchak got up. Apparently, this is a prerequisite for Tchiyas HaMesim. The Radal, Rav David Luria says, we see by Elisha and Yecheskel that by each one of them, when there's Tchiyas HaMesim that happens, the person gets up afterward. They got up to their feet and they walked. And he realized that Tchiyas HaMesim would happen for his children in the future, and he made the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Mechaye HaMesim, which we now use in our Shemona Esrei. Rav David Luria says over there, Al Tishlach Yotcha Lanar is not referring to Avram Avinu. The Malach wasn't calling out to Avram specifically, although Avram could hear it. Al Tishlach Yotcha Lanar is Shemayim should not put out their hand to grab Yitzchak. They were going to grab Yitzchak and keep them in the heavens. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the Malach, called out to the heavens and said, Al Tishlach Yotcha Lanar, you don't put your hand out to the child. Let the child go back. Al Tasbo Ma'uma, I guess, could have been a reference back to Avramino, but that's the line that David Luria wants to say over here. He says that this is hinted to in his name. Yitzchak is Kate Chai, the end of life, as if he died. That's the idea of what happened over here with Yitzchak. His whole body represents, his name represents what happened to him, to this idea of Tchiyas Mason that happened over here. That's the Pirkei Rebbe. So we got the Das HaKinim, the Pirkei Rebbe. Midrash Vayosha. It's quoted in the Otzer HaMidrashim, written by Eisenstein, says, Porcha Nishmaso when he's about to be shafted, and Chazra Nishmaso when Avram Avinu put the knife down. He made the bracha of Machaye HaMesim at that point after the knife was put down. In all three of these Midrashim, it's difficult to say this means that he actually died. Now, why is it difficult to say that? Because if he actually died, how could Avram Avinu shecht a korban that was already dead? Avram Avinu would have been able to stop right there. He would have looked at him and said, wait, he's dead. I can't do anything. If an animal dies before you do, I remember when I shechted, when I tried learning becoming a shochet, I remember by the second bird that I had, the way you have to do it is you have to grab the wings, you hold it in between these two fingers, and you pull the skin back a little bit, and then you take the knife, I'm a lefty, right, and you shecht that way. So I remember by the second bird, I was making sure, the first bird I did perfectly fine, the second bird I looked at, and I grabbed it by this, and I was pulling it, and I'm like, wait, am I doing this right? Is this the right way? Am I doing it right? And then the guy said, let go, you just killed the chicken. And I let go, and the whole chicken went limp and fell down on the ground. I'm like, ah! Killed with my bare hands, right? And I realize it's difficult. It's really difficult. You have to be very careful when you're choking, you're trying to do it, that you don't choke it. You want to get it, the skin is tight on the esophagus and the trachea as possible. You don't want to choke it to death, which is what exactly I did, because I'm a killer and a murderer. But that's the idea. This would be, if you guys listen to this, they're going to be very angry. But it's okay. In the end, I'm sure it went for good things.
If it happened when Avram was already had the knife at his throat, he's not necessarily going to realize that he died in that.
Okay, so that would have been a puzzle korban. That's terrible. It's terrible that such a thing would have been. So it's clear that it would probably be by porcha nishmaso that it doesn't really mean that he died. It must mean that somehow it was as if he fainted. Not dead, but comatose, something like that. It was something like that happened. But the word porcha nishmaso quite often does refer to death. It's just hard to understand that if it was porcha nishmaso before Avram Avinu even shot him, before he put a knife to his throat, it's strange that was there. Now the psikta rabasi, as well as the Shiboli Aleket, quote this message a little bit differently. Yitzchak had already been burnt into ashes, he said. The ashes were spreading across the entire mountain when Hashem brought down a tau, a dew upon the ground, that brought him back to life. David HaMelech hints to this when he said, Kitau Hermon, like the tau of the Hermon, Asher Yored Al Har Etzion, that went down in the mountains of Zion, that went down on this mountain of Zion to revive Yitzchak Avinu. That's the line that David HaMelech was talking about. The Malachim saw all of this from above. They were the ones who got up, and they
they made the bracha of Machayim Eitzim. It wasn't Yitzchak. It was the Malachim that saw the Tchias Amis of Yitzchak after he was already burned. After he was already burned.
Avram already shut him and burned.
Says Rav David Luria, it could be, according to this medrash, that Avinu never shechted him. He stopped himself from doing so once he heard the malach. But by that time, the wood and the fire were already raging on the mizbeach. Because he put down the fire and he put down the wood. And that something had happened. It already had caused Yitzchak to burn anyway, even though Avinu had never shechted him. It was like a tragedy when he never meant to kill Yitzchak Avinu. He never meant to shecht him, and the malach told him and stopped him in time. But according to this, says Rav David Luria, in understanding the Sikhtar Abasi, the fire hit him and caused him to burn anyway, right? And yet, at the end of the day, he had Tchias HaMeisim was brought back, and the Malachim were the ones that said Mechayim HaMeisim. Crazy, right? Absolutely crazy. But now we have two basic Pshatim. We have three Midrashim. What? I know, seriously. Midrash by Yosef, Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, and Das HaKeinim that say Porcha Nishmaso. We have this line of the Sikhtar Abasi and the Shibali Alekhet that are saying that there was no Shrita, not even necessarily a Porcha Nishmaso, but he burned. That he did burn down into ashes over here. The Miyam Loes brings down a medrash that's similar but not exactly. Avinu picked up the knife with his right hand and began to cut the skin of Yitzchak Avinu's neck and caused a revius of blood. I don't know if it was lachumra like the Chazanish, I have no idea how much, but a revius of dam to come out. At that point, the Satan came in and knocked the knife out of Avinu Avinu's hands to make sure that he wouldn't do it the rest of the Shechita. It fell on the ground and the knife became pogum. The knife was pogum. So now he couldn't use it. Says the Miyam Loes, Avram realized that he was doing something wrong, and it must be misunderstood. He wasn't supposed to shecht Yitzchak Avinu. He wasn't supposed to shecht it. So he took his hands, wrapped it around Yitzchak Avinu's neck, who was already bleeding, and started to choke him to death. He wanted to strangulate him to death. That's what happened. Until the Malach called out and said, Al tishlach yodcha lanar, don't put your hand out to the child. No longer the knife, because the knife wasn't there. Val tasvo ma'uma, he says. It's brought by the Medrash Tanhuma, Perakov Gimel, and the Tur, not the Balaturin, but the Tur, who has a Sefer on Chumash, wrote a similar medrash. It says he couldn't find the knife when it fell on the ground. He wanted to use the knife still, but he couldn't find it. He thought he would have to strangle him instead. But all these medrashim agree upon one thing. Each one we mentioned says, Avram never shechted Yitzchak. He may have cut him, he may have caused him to die, he may have even attempted to kill him in another fashion, but he never shechted him in any way that one would do a normal korban. Yes?
That last one where he cut him, mm-hmm. That's inconsistent with the stuff that's being cut.
You didn't withhold my child? That's exactly.
That doesn't imply that
I think means withhold. You didn't withhold your child from me.
You didn't
hold back. I think that's the wording that they use over there. So I think that's okay.
So the Satan knocked the knife away.
Yeah. Crazy, right? Yeah.
All that. So then Avram assumed what?
Avram assumed it must be that he's not supposed to shecht him with a knife.
So he tried to strangle him.
He said it's got to be a different way because it's not an animal, so you don't shecht. It's the thought process.
Because the Satan knocked it?
Because he didn't know that the Satan did it.
Oh.
Yeah, he didn't know the Satan did it. He just knew that the knife had fallen out of his hand, and that's a sign, he said.
That would imply that he hadn't done anything yet, and he's saying don't do anything.
I agree with that. Now, that's a hard line to be able to say. Al-Tasla Ma'uma means don't do anything anymore, according to this shot. But that measure should be a little bit different. Now,
any of this okay because. Isn't the procedure that you have to do as fast as you can, and
even
if you get close for a second, stop for a second, little
I don't know what you mean. Yes and no. Once you start the actual shechita, that's correct. Here, it wasn't to start the shechita, it was in order to prepare.
Didn't he cut it?
Yeah, the cut was in order to make sure that it would be easier for him to cut later. You can do that. As long as you're not causing it to die, right, you are allowed to make a cut in order to make sure that you're doing it in the right fashion, that you know where you're going. Typically, it doesn't bleed that way. You stretch out the skin a little bit so you don't get caught in the folds of the skin. Okay. But it can happen. Strangulation for sure is not okay. But again, because it's not an animal, so maybe you thought that the strangulation would have to be, but that's the idea behind it. And Taimim and Hagen, number 309, he quotes Rabbi Yeshaya Hertz Medinos, right, who says that after he was shechted and burned into ashes, again, shechted and burned into ashes. Now, this is a Hasidic rebel. There is no medrash that goes with this, but it could be that he's either quoting a medrash that we don't have, or he's understanding these medrashim differently. I don't know, but he said after he was shechted and burned into ashes, Hashem brought him back to life. If so, he says, why did the Malach say, don't touch the child, don't do anything to him? He says the following. Because Hashem wanted his words to be Mekayim. He wanted Avram to shecht the child, and he did so. But then Hashem immediately brought him back to life after he burned him, and he was made into ashes. Hashem immediately brought him back to life. He appeared on the Mizbeach, and Avram said, The Satan fooled me. I thought I had shechted him, and I thought I had burned him, but I really didn't. So I have to do it now.
So what
and he picked up his knife to shecht him again. And that's when the Malach said, don't do it a second time. Because you already did it once, you don't have to do it again. That's how Rabbi Yishayah Herzmedinov says it. That there was a shechita, there was a burning, there was a tchiyas amesim, and then Avraham Avinu was going to do it again, and that's when the Malach stopped him. Yeah.
So is he the only one that says that?
Then? I haven't seen it. I shouldn't say the only one, but I haven't seen anybody else say it.
So when the Pasuk says that he attempted to, we're saying that only after he shechted
him? It doesn't say he attempted to. All it says is Vayishlach the other one out, which is this Pasuk over here, and then the Malach speaks in the next Pasuk. When this idea there's something missing in between, he shechted, he burned, and then comes the next Pasuk of the Malach saying, right after the Tzchias Mason, then the Malach says, don't touch him. In Parshas Chayesara, we see that when Rivka was being brought back by Eliezer, Yitzchak was returning from Be'er Lachai Roi. That was a city, Be'er Lachai Roi. The only other time Be'er Lachai Roi is mentioned earlier is by Yishmael, when Hagar runs away, she runs to Be'er Lachai Roi. She gets a nevuah from a malach in Be'er Lachai Roi. He goes to that area toward the south of Eretz Yisrael in Hebrew. The Yitzchak Ba, Yitzchak was coming, Nebo, from going to Be'er Lachai Roi. The Yalkut Shimoni in Kuftet says he came from Gan Eden. That's the wording of the Yalkut Shimoni. A Medrash came from Gan Eden. This is brought by the Hadr is the Canaan, one of the Bali Tosos, as well as the Chizkuni, who normally Chizkuni never goes away from Pshat. It's a rarity when he quotes a Medrash, a very big rarity when he does. It means that he feels that Medrash is Pshat as opposed to anything else. But he says, Mi Gan Eden, and the Chizkuni adds that he had spent the last 3 years in Gan Eden since the Akedah quoting a Medrash HaGadol. That he doesn't quote it directly, but it's from a Medrash HaGadol over there. That's what he ends up saying. The Paneach Raza, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Miam Loei, Yalku Ruveni, Moshe of the Canaan, and the Rabbeinu Bechaya. Did I say that again? No, I didn't. And the Rabbeinu Bechaya all bring this shot. Some of them even point out the Yitzchak Ba is the Gematria of 217, which is the Gematria of Mi Gan Eden, that he came out from Gan Eden. Now, why was he in Gan Eden? What was Yitzchak Avinu doing in Gan Eden? So, Drushus Ibn Shuib, this is an old time Medrash that is a Sephardi Medrash, either it's from Teman, I don't remember exactly where, says the reason Yitzchak Avinu went to Gan Eden is because he had been wounded from the Akedah, and he needed to be healed from this neck wound, which goes perfect with the Medrash Tanchum above, right, that we quoted, where Avraham Avinu gave a cut in Yitzchak Avinu's neck, but did not shecht him. He said he needed 3 years to heal in Gan Eden, and that's what happened to Yitzchak Avinu, and he was coming back right at the moment where Rivka Imenu was being brought over to him. That's that. The Riva says he found a Medrash. Remember, the Riva is a Baal Tosfos as well. The Yitzchak Avinu was brought to Gan Eden to be healed for 2 years, not three, 2 years. I personally could understand 2 years a little bit better. If it's 2 years, then he would have came back and Avraham Avinu would have known that he should marry him off to Rivka. If it was 3 years, he hadn't been back yet, and Avraham Avinu was already finding a wife, even though he didn't know where Yitzchak was or when he was coming back. But again, when you say I understand this better by something like this, it's difficult to go any further than that. But either way, yeah.
He went up to Gan Eden with his physical body also?
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, who did that? Like, body on the Akedah? Like,
Sefer Brit Avraham says he remembers seeing this somewhere as well, that the Malachim brought him to Gan Eden after the Akedah, which is why Avraham Avinu returned to his young men by himself. And some of the Shulchan seem to say that it wasn't for the cut. It was from the tears of the Malachim that fell in his eyes, which I will eventually, I'm going to give a share on that. I'm not going to say, I promise. Believe me, there. The tears of Malachim. What does that even mean? They blinded him. And they landed right in his... I don't know. Okay, whatever. I have no idea what that means. That's in time for another time. But he said that's what he has to be healed from. He has to be healed from that. I'm sorry? If he only would have glasses, right. If that was the only... Yalku Ruveni says it even more extreme. Yalku Ruveni says that Avram had shechted both the esophagus and the trachea. So the Malachim had to bring off the Gan Eden to heal him. Not just the cut, not the eyes. It was because Imamish shechted him. I'm sorry? Yeah, an actual shechita, which is exactly what they did for 3 years. It's because of this incident, because he went up to Gan Eden, that he's able to say, when Yaakov Inu comes inside to get the brachos, says, Reach Bani Kereach Asadet. See, the smell of my child is like the smell of Gan Eden. How would he know? Because he was in Gan Eden. That's how he ends up saying, says the Al-Kurubani, because he was in Gan Eden, he knows what the smell was like, and that's what he was able to smell when he went to that place. The Bar Tanura says an explanation of Rashi, which is one of the greatest explanations ever, but it's not in this week, it's in next week's Parsha. It says, next week's Parsha, Rivka Imenu was coming back with Eliezer of Avraham. And and she sees a guy, but Tera is Yitzchok. She sees Yitzchok from afar. She's riding on a camel, right? She falls off the camel. It's Tipo Me'alagamal. Remember, she might be 3 years old, likely a little bit older, but she might have been very, very young. Falling off a camel. You know how tall a camel is? 12 feet, 15 feet up in the air? She fell off the camel. And then she turned to Eliezer and said, who is that guy? Okay, wait, is she asking about guys? What is going on here? What was she doing? Rashi says, Ra'asoso, she saw him, Hadur, the beauty of him, the Toa Milafanov, and she was shocked by such a thing. Her, his majesty, she couldn't handle it. Now, she asked, and that's when Eliezer said, that's my master, this is my master. One could say the word Hadur here means a bit different. That's what the Bartanur says. The Bartanur, Rabbeinu Avadi of the Bartanur, we're not talking about anybody, it's the Bartanur that you have on Mishnayis, Bartanur and Chumash says that he was turned Hadur. Hadur means could be turned upside down. Yitzchok had died and was coming now from Gan Eden. It would make sense that he would come upside down with his head toward the ground and feet toward the air, since when a dead man comes back to this world, that's how he appears. Rivka obviously saw that, was shocked by it, seeing a person walking. I don't know how it's, I guess you see it as if it's coming down, but watching him go down an upside down thing, right? And she was so shocked, right? She fell off her camel. She couldn't handle it. She said, what's going on with this guy? Well, so hug her. She saw him turned around. They told me about Melfanov. He said, I can't understand this. Now, the couple Ramazan to this idea. The word, when it says the word haholeich, that Yitzchak was walking, the trump is mapach. Mapach obviously means hipuch, to be turned around. He was walking upside down. In that way, it could even be that your brain, the truth is, when it goes to anything, everything you see, you're technically seeing upside down. Your brain is able to process it where you're able to see it right side up. And it makes sense. You can go to mirrors. You can see, if you look inside the inside of a spoon, right, you see everything like upside down. Why? Because it's somehow, the way the curvature of the spoon goes, it's almost impossible, the reflection, the way it goes. Your eyes also have that curvature. It appears in a different way, but your brain is able to process in the right way. It could be that somebody coming back from the dead has no ability to be processed normally by your brain, so you see it as is, as if it's upside down, something that's almost metaphysical as opposed to physical itself. But we see this by Sholem Aleph. This concept exists. The Yalkut Shimoni is brought down by the Medrash in Shmuel and Avi. When Shaul HaMelech asked for Shmuel and Avi to be brought back from the dead by the Balas Ov, the Balas Ov, when she saw him, was shocked. Why was she shocked? Because she saw him, says the Medrash, walking upside down. Shmuel and Avi had come upside down. She had never seen a real dead person before. This is the first time that it actually happened, and it happened in front of her, and she saw him walking upside down. And when she saw him that way, she says, now I know that it's 100% that you are Shaul HaMelech, because nobody else would this work for. And therefore, Shmuel and Avi is coming that way. Somehow, she was able to see it so this way as well. And again, we have the same idea of this shot that Yitzchak, passed away, went to Gan Eden in order to be healed, etc., and then came back in this way as well.
The Midrash says that Shmuel came right side up because Shmuel was a king and yet it came right side up.
Yes. I don't remember. I couldn't find that in the Midrash. I found this. I couldn't find that. Maybe it's a shot that people give in it. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. But I couldn't find that. I only found this, that he was upside down. Yeah. I'm sorry, Ben.
No.
Okay, so let's go. Tiferes Yonason says, Avram had a feeling this would happen when he said to the Ne'arim, V'nashuva Aleichem. He felt, even if I shech the Yitzchok Avinu, he felt there would be a Tchias Me'asim as well. So you might ask, well, what was the challenge then? If you know your son's going to come back to life, right? You can even say, V'nashuva Aleichem, that I'm planning on both of us coming back. Then what's the challenge? Well, I'll shech my kid because I know he's going to come back. What's the problem? First of all, you don't have a kid if you said that. There's no way. You don't have a child, right? At least you don't know what it is to have a child. There's no way you would do it even if you knew he was coming back. You couldn't. There's no way you'd be able to do it. But regardless, it could be that he understood it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already said he's going to be the progenitor of the rest of the people. Right? That could be that it's going to be. In the end, it is pretty much exactly what happened, right? Even though the death wasn't directly through Avraham Avinu's hands, it is that way through Poruch HaNeshamah. So in some way, since Tzoras Yonason, that is what ended up happening. Later he asks, if Yitzchak had already died, it's the unbelievable Rabbi Yonason Aichi, it's unbelievable. He says, is there a need to bring an aisle as a korban? Because what do you need it for? If the whole point was that Yitzchak didn't get shechted, that there was no korban of Yitzchak, then fine, I understand why you got to bring an aisle in place of Yitzchak. I get that. That would be instead of Yitzchak. That makes sense. But if the aisle, if Yitzchak was shechted, if he was brought as a korban, if Poruch HaNeshamah and Tchias Me'asim in some way, then what do you need the aisle for? What's the point of the aisle, he says?
Then you bring it as a korban of Hodah.
But it doesn't say a korban todah. It says tachas Yitzchak, right? So why would it be that way?
Yitzchak should be bringing the korban because he was the one brought back.
That's for your pshat. I'm not holding of your pshat. No, it says tachas Yitzchak. It was instead of Yitzchak. It was an ola, tachas Yitzchak. That's the wording of the pasuk. Normally, a todah is a shlamim. It's a form of a shlamim. Normally, only someone who sins b'shogeg brings a korban. If you do something b'mezid, you don't bring a korban. Right? You do something b'shogeg, right, and not accidentally, whatever b'shogeg would be defined as in English, right, that's when you bring a korban as a kafara. Now, why? Why is it that only a b'shogeg brings a korban and not a b'mezid? Says Tavaris Yonis, and he understands the following. When a person does something wrong, b'shogeg, that means he's not thinking properly, and his body does the action of the avera. Now, the body can be represented by an animal. The physical body of the person can be represented by the body of the animal. Why? Because you weren't thinking. You acted like an animal without any thought process. You did a b'shogeg, but you did what you're supposed to do, therefore you bring a korban that's there. But if you do an avera b'mezid, where your thought process is involved, an animal can't represent your thought process. Because an animal doesn't have bechira, an animal doesn't have the same brain as you, so even if you bring the animal as a korban, you can't have a kapara that's done through the mental aspect of what the person was doing. So the physical aspect can be taken care of. The mental aspect cannot be taken care of. The seichel doesn't connect that way. Therefore he says, when Yitzchak's soul flew out of his body, that means his body died. He already had, right, the, so to speak, a kapara for his soul. The mental aspect had been mechaper. Whatever he needed to do, there needed to be a kapara of Yitzchak. However you could refer to that, the mental aspect had already been done. Had he been shechted as well, not just porcha nishmaso, but had he been shechted as well, that would have been mechaper for his body. Since he was never shechted, his soul had been taken care of, it got its kapara. The thought process had been mechaper through the soul leaving him, but the body hadn't been mechaper yet. So thereafter they did it, they still needed a kapara for the body, so they brought the ayil to represent Yitzchak Avinu's guf. Since Yitzchak had so little evil, he was such a perfect person, you needed a special ayil, not just any, an ayil that was from Sheshes and made Bereshes, well, the Kedusha. But that's the concept, says Sfaris Yonis, and he says, the idea is, the soul leaving him was one aspect, that's the mental aspect. Now you needed something to represent the physical aspect, and that's all according to the pshat that he wasn't shechted, just porcha nishmaso.
What do you do? Does it say that he was
shechted? Doesn't answer that way. It doesn't answer that one. Paul?
Well, if you say that's what you're saying with the remains, is because you have intent, obviously. And animals don't have intent.
Correct.
What about an animal that's a mood? He always has intent.
That's a good call. In other words, there is such a thing. What you're saying is that an animal still has kavanah.
Yes.
I am going to refer you to the Sefer HaChassidim on page Kuf Zion in the Makor Chassid written by Reb Reuven Margolius on whether or not there is a doggy heaven and a doggy Gehenna. Okay? We can talk about that some other time. What it means for an animal to have kavanah. Is there actual kavanah? I'm going to refer you to over there. Yes,
but,
Ephraim.
But it's
kavanah, so
that has a
kavanah. The more you
move,
yeah,
look.
It's nature. Yeah. Well, you're both saying right. Kavanah, nature. What does it mean when it's ingrained within you? What is it exactly? It's good, Kasha. Okay. We're not for right now, but that's that. But that's the concept of beer. There are a few lines in the Gemara Midrashim. You have to hear these. It's mamish unbelievable. Yes, Shmuel.
How is there a kavanah involved? This was Avram's patent.
That's a solid question as well. I don't have a great answer for that. That's a solid question. It was a test. So what does that mean? There was a kapara needed that first Yonah is in saying that his body and soul has to be some mama kapara. That I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. It's whatever needed to happen through this. Okay, I have an answer, but it's not for right now. Medrash Rabba, Tzadi Dalit Hey. The Medrash brings down why Yaakov Avinu gave korbanos to Elokei Avi Yitzchak. In Membav, Perek Membav Pasuk Aleph, he gave korbanos to Elokei Avi Yitzchak. One of the reasons given by the Medrash is because Hashem constantly sees, here's the wording in the Medrash, Afro shel Yitzchak ki utsavar al gav mizbeach, the ashes of Yitzchak as if they're piled on top of the mizbeach, as if they're actual ashes there. Gemara Zvachim, Stalach Bezim and Aleph. The Gemara discusses what David HaMelech saw when he realized the Bezim Mikdash should be built on Har Moriah, and the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim says when he saw a mizbeach, La'ola li'Yisrael, which refers to, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Afaro shel Yitzchak that were placed in that area. Again, the ashes of Yitzchak. Bracho, Samach Beis Mabez, Yalkut Shimoni, and Shmuel Beis Kup Samachay, in the paragraph beginning with the word Dover Acher. It says Hashem stopped the plague during the days of David HaMelech. Why did he stop the plague? Because he saw Afaro shel Yitzchak, the ashes of Yitzchak. And they learn it from the words Elokim Yira Lo Haseh Lo'ola B'ni. Not from the aisle, in which you would say that they brought the aisle as a korban. How do we know Afaro Shel Yitzchak? From the words Elokim Yira Lo Haseh, which indicates that Yitzchak himself was the korban, not the ram. You have Rashi, that's Brachos Tam Beis Beis. Rashi and Parshat Bechu Kostai. Chav Vav Pasuk Mem Beis. Something strange as well. We are remembering each of the avos in the pasuk, and it says the word Zeker by each one of the avos, but not by Yitzchak. Rashi says the reason why is because the ashes of Yitzchak are piled in front of me on the Mizbeach. There's no need to remember Yitzchak. Yitzchak is always, his ashes are piled in front of me. Once again, you have all these four. Tainis Tazayin Aleph, the strangest line. During the final seven fast days that we make when we need rain, the Mishnah mentions that we bring the bima out into the street, we put ashes on top of it, and we put ashes upon everyone's head as well to remind us that we're dying, so to speak. Okay, the Gemara asks why we do so, and the Gemara gives two reasons. One is that we're considered like dust and ashes. The other one is to remind God of Afaro Shel Yitzchak, the ashes of Yitzchak. Tosfos asks the nafkin between the two, and he says the ashes should be from human bones, he says. This is the Tosfos. It must be from human bones that were burned in order to properly remind Hashem of Akedas Yitzchak. If Yitzchak was never burned, if he wasn't, it was only the ram, why in the world would Tosfos say you'd need ashes of human bones. You need ashes of wood. You need ashes of an aisle. But you wouldn't need this. And plus, isn't that a bizarre to someone who dies? And the Sefer Shoshana Mordavid suggests there's a mistake in Tosfos that he had written Etzem Echod Aleph. Etzem Aleph. And so it really meant Etzem Echod, one bone. And somebody mistook it and really thought it meant Etzem Adam. And wrote in the word Adam instead of that. Now, that's what he says over there. There's a Kappa Kain who says that Tosfos means you have to burn something that belongs to a person. The atzmos is not bones of a person, it's atzmus of a person. The atzmus is something that belongs to him, but that's a stretch. Because not only does Tosfos say this on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, he says it on Tes Vav Amud Beis as well. And over there he says etzem adam as well. I can understand there's one mistake of atzmus adam being atzmus echad or whatever it is, but etzem adam is written on Tes Vav Amud Beis. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong where Tosfos writes twice that it's got to be etzem adam, the bones of a person. He says it in two different ways, etzem adam and atzmos adam, atzmos adam. There's something just strange about all this. So halachically, Shaul Shulis Chelik Levi in Yor Deir Rish Test says if you bury the head in most of the body of a human being, you would be allowed to burn a small part of the person's body, since there's no mitzvah to bury the rest of the body. Not that you should, but you could. The Tosfos Yomtiv and Shabbos Yud Hey and Mishnah Melech Hilchos Avol Yud Dalet Chaf Aleph and the Minchas Chinuch number 537 argue whether there's a mitzvah to bury a kezayis of someone who died. Shvus Yaakov and Chelet Beis Kof Aleph and the Noda Yehuda and Tinyana Yoreh De'Arish Tess say it could be you would burn a non-Jewish person's bone or a limb that fell off a person's body before he died, or you use the ashes of somebody who was already cremated in some way, and that's the ashes you use on a Tainis itself, on these last seven Tainisim. But they're all getting around this idea. Every single one of them, we're dealing with the Noda Yehuda, Reich Escalando, they're saying, yeah, Tosfos meant Etzem Adam. Why? Why, if Yitzchak wasn't burned? It's such a strange thing, but it already makes it into the realm of halacha. In the realm of halacha, we're paskening what to do in the last 7 days of a tainus. And Tosfos is telling me what to do, and the Noda Yehuda is telling you this is what they did.
Well, why does that necessarily say that Yitzchak was burned? The fact that Yitzchak was, that we say all the time, after several months, like I was there, I mean, that is obviously a symbolic thing. I shouldn't agree. Have like a physical.
Granted.
The fact that Avram wasn't willing to do it and wasn't gone so far to actually do it, that in and of itself is as if the ashes are there. But why is it
okay, I hear that. It's just strange that we're using the Atzmos Adam specifically to remind you of the Afaro Shel Yitzchak. That's the problem. I think out of all those proofs, so to speak, from the Medrash Rabbah, from Zvachim, from Brachos, from Rashi, from the Yalkut Shimoni, from the Gemara and Tainis, I hear you. Tosfos, I think, is a major, I think that would be a proof.
Tosfos told us, we need to be physical for us to be real to us. Hashem doesn't need to remember.
But you don't need the bone of a person, the bone of an aisle. I understand.
There's a person, then.
We don't think that Yitzchak was shechted. We think it was an aisle that was shechted in the place of Yitzchak. That's all we think of.
Right, but we know that Hashem views it as if Yitzchak was actually shechted and burned.
Yeah.
We need to view it as if it's real.
I hear you. I disagree with that idea. I hear what you're saying. I don't agree that. I would say this is more of a proof the other way around. But Yaakov London says on this, he says, it certainly does not need to be ashes of human bones. It should be of wood. And it's a mistake in Tosfos. The way he words it over here is, the words of Tosfos are Zorim
ode. Very strange. Very strange. And he doesn't say anything more. Rabbi Akilinen ends with that. It's just a strange thing altogether.
What are you saying?
He seems to say that you shouldn't do anything that Tosa said when it came to this.
Strange in this case. It's arguing we need to make it something foreign.
Yeah. Something he says, Zorim Odivre Toso Zorim Ode are the words of
He
does in the beginning. He says there's got to be a Tos in Tosos. That's the first wording of Ryakman. You can check it out. It's in Tesdainim and Aleph in Tinus over there. I'm going to skip the Orach Chaim HaKadosh.
Zor means strange.
Zor. Yeah. Zor means strange. Zayin Reish. Yeah. No, that's right. Zor. Zorim mode. Zayin Reish Yudman. Yeah, Zayin Reish Yudman. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh has an unreal shot over here that's not shot at all. And it's difficult to be able to go into. And it's something that I spoke about before when we talked about Bakol. If anybody remembers the Shembe Rachas Avram Bakol, Bakol was a daughter of Yitzchak to represent Yitzchak. Everything that goes on, that's something I talked about before. You could check out the Orach Chaim over here. There are four Orach Chaims that speak about this. You need to do all four of them. In Yud Ches Yud, Chof Aleph Beis, where's the other one? Chof Beis Yud, and I forgot where the fourth one is. I didn't write it over here. But regardless, there's a Medrash Talpios over there as well, but I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to end with a Rav Schwab and then say one last thing. Rav Schwab says, it was a malach that told Avram Avinu that he has to stop and that he wasn't allowed to do the Akedah. But Hashem told him to do it in the first place. Why would you stop for a malach if God told you to do it? May God tell me to stop. If God told me to do it, then Hashem should tell me to stop. Why would he listen to a malach itself? Now this is a famous kasha. It's asked by many, many, it's asked by Rishonim, let alone Achronim. Why would he listen to the malach itself?
No idea what Hashem tells him.
Either way, but you don't listen to a malach. You wouldn't listen to Divrei Rabbi, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishonim. So you don't do that. So he answers, but Sabbatical is a lower level. But he answers by quoting the Rashi we mentioned above in B'chuk Kosai, and he says, we know that when a person thinks he wants to do a mitzvah, even if something happens and he can't do it, he wasn't able to do the mitzvah, something happened, it's as if he did it. Why? His ratzon was to do it. So even if he didn't do it l'maisa, for whatever factor, like Hashem told him not to do it, Hashem judged it as if it's done because he would have done it if not for that factor. It's like an onus. An onus hits you, it's as if you did it. You should know, by the way, as a parenthetically, that's a very, very major shaila. What happens if you had an onus and you couldn't daven? Are you putter from davening? So even if you have time later, you have no reason to daven. You're actually putter. Or do you have a ptur from davening? Right now, I have a ptur, but when I have the ability to daven later, I must daven. What does an ones do? Does an ones make it as if it happened? Or does an ones just push off the chiyuv? What does an ones do? It's a big shiloh. It's a big shiloh regarding avelus, when you're an onain, if you have to do sphira, if you have to daven, if you didn't put on tefillin that day yet. Right? You have to bury somebody who's dead, and you didn't put on tefillin. Do you have to put on tefillin later on in the day, or are you putter from tefillin because at that time I was putter? I'm sorry?
Tefillin is an all-day
chiyuv. Tefillin might not be the best example, but the idea behind everything, the question is, what does an ones do? That's the oneness behind an ones. Is an ones a ptur that you're, but it's a ptur for now, but it goes back later, or is it putter completely? So the way the Rav Schwab is saying it is like this. It's as if he actually did it. It's as if he actually did it. The onus made him as if he actually did it. By Hashem, there's no difference. Whether you think that you're going to do it, you want to do it, or if you actually did it, that makes no difference. And therefore, it's considered as if it's there. Therefore, even though Avram Avinu never shechted Yitzchak, says Rav Schwab, because he wanted to, and he was willing to do it, and he was an onus from doing it, it's as if he did it, and God is looking at the ashes of Yitzchak mamish. Did Avram Avinu actually shecht Yitzchak? Did the ashes actually get put on his back? No, because he couldn't do it. Hashem said no. But it says, if it's there, he says. In that way, it might be that this is the shot behind all the midrashim and everything we said up above. It's not that he actually was shechted, or that he had porkanish muscle, or that he had everything that the burning of the burning just simply without the shechita at all. It says, if it all happens, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu stopped him, everything is ki'ilu. It's munach al his back. And all of these rayas that we gave of all the ashes of Yitzchak, etc., all go with this pshat, and that's why a malach
did it and not Hashem. Had Hashem said it, it would seem there was something missing from Avram's avoda, and Avram is not an ones, so to speak. He's being blamed. You don't deserve to do this. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu couldn't say, don't do it. It's if Avram, you didn't do it correctly, so I don't want you to do it. Instead, it's not that Avram Dino is being stopped from doing it by Hashem. A Malach told him, there, you are an ones at this point. I'm forcing you not to be able to do it, so to speak. We can say, so that we can say it was as if it was done. That's
the idea.
Stopped him. I don't know, physically. Stopped him. We'll do like whatever it is, stop him. And what's the lesson behind all this? What's the idea? Why would Yitzchok Avinu have to actually die if he actually died? Rabbi Scott Kahn from Yeshivas Yisodei HaTorah has a famous idea behind this, and I just have to check with somebody before to make sure that it was correct. Very unique idea. So imagine that you don't know that there's going to be a Tchias Mezim. You don't know that something's going to happen. And you shocked your kid. It could be that he mamish did it. And to reconcile that with the nevuah of Hashem promising him that Yitzchak Avinu is going to be the future progenitor of the Jewish people. What's Avraham Avinu going to do? You know what Avraham Avinu does? He goes on. He walks on. Because sometimes there's going to be too many shilohs, too many issues. And we expect there to be a happy ending. Expect Hashem to stop us last second. Sometimes there is no stopping us last second. Sometimes, and forgive me for saying this, there's a Holocaust. And sometimes we sit there and we say, but why? But why did it have to be? Avraham Avinu's akedah was a lesson, if it actually was. If he actually did check the Yitzchok. Sometimes we have to sit there and we have to say, it happens. It happens. He sees that Yitzchok Avinu is gone. He's not promised anything. His whole life is different. He doesn't know that this Tchias Mezim is going to happen. And he goes on. All he knows is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with him no matter what. That's the lesson to be learned from such an idea. Whether it happened or not, honestly, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. No, it didn't happen. I'm going to give you that. There's no way that Avraham Avinu shechted Yitzchak. I'm going to tell you that. No matter what the Midrashim say, these are drushim, which have to be understood in a different light. They can be pshat, but they are not going to be pshat in this case. We have too many Rishonim that did not accept this as pshat, too many Achronim that don't accept this as pshat, even though we have many Midrashim that say otherwise, and many ideas that could go through there. The pshat is the idea, the lesson behind these Midrashim, is you go on no matter what. That's the lesson to be learned from it. I feel that that's an extremely important lesson to learn from here. Happens to all of us. We all have that. So in all together, what we did was we mentioned this idea of how this could be, the different midrashim of how it could be. So Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, Mitzvah Yosef, Sikdu Rabbasin, Shivali Alak, and we mentioned the Amlo Wave. Then we went to the time and Hagen Kodin, Rabbi Yishai Mihirtz Midinov. Then we went through all the different things of what happened when Yitzchak Avinu came back. Then we went through Rabbi Anderson, I just to understand a little bit. Then we went through possible riots from the Mitzvah Rabbas Vachem Sam Beis Brach Sam Beis and Beis Rach and Barbara Bechukosai, Tainus Test 9 as well. So, stop it. As well as Tosas over there. And then finally, Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Schwab explaining why the Malach had to be there, and as well as Rabbi Kahn from Yeshiva Studio Torah giving that idea of what was going to be over there. Shkoyah, guys, have a great Shabbos. We'll dive in Marv right now.